God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. Greed's not good and God's not dead. Don't care what Nietzsche or Ayn Rand said. The blood of every man is red, and I'm not going to war. They justify all the things they do with convoluted logic, and waves still pound upon the sand, and will when they're gone. God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let us take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Greetings and welcome, regular guests, first-time visitors, and those who want to fire here on their way somewhere else. We are, as ever, in the saucer pod hovering above this changing world. We're way far up in the sky this evening, to the extent that the sky is inky and the earth lies below us as a big, round, blue-green ball. The moon is behind us. I can't see it. I've got the shades down and back, but I can feel it, being as it is full, or it was. Life on planet Earth has become a cross between a cartoon and a graphic novel. Those occupying center stage in contemporary life, the political leaders, entertainment figures, have all been dredged up from the bottom of the barrel. They represent that portion of the public that is so out of touch with their essential being and so magnetized by their false self that they will do or say anything in order to remain on stage. That is the nature of the false self. It has no class and no restraint. It doesn't care who suffers and dies, so long as it can remain at whatever level of power it may temporarily reside in. Obama is like this. Most of the vile and violent clowns capering about like baboons with the runs are like this. They're finger-painting the walls of history with their own feces. They're evacuating their intestines all over the floor and walking in it. They're leaving their tracks. What happens during the age of Mr. Apocalypse is that, inspiration-wise, humanity has come to its most diluted period. Everything is watered down or enhanced with fillers. There's a cosmic cellulose that expands the content, which is already insipid. It's not dissimilar from the cellulites that are pronounced in today's sedentary, riding the living room couch to nowhere mindset, as every kind of entropy that ever was goes into action in this age of entropy and evolutionary moonwalking. If you understand this and you are aware of this, there is hope for you. Being aware is a catalyst for many things. The most important element of existence is awareness, and the most important focus of awareness is awareness, watching awareness. If you are aware that you are aware and engaged in self-inquiry, you are right where you should be. It wouldn't hurt to take a moment and ask yourself if this is the case. If this is not the case, avail yourself of one of my collection of mottos that I carry with me everywhere I go, mostly because of the times when there is only one set of footprints in the sand. It goes like this. When you realize you are wrong and take the corrective action, you're no longer wrong. You're right. So forth and so on. Consciousness, awareness, focus, concentration, memory, and such things are operational components of the mind. How we use them is the all-important point. This is why intention is one of the most critical items in a person's persona, if that makes any sense. You can think of your personality as having something like Batman's utility belt, being something like it. In it are all kinds of accessories. Some people don't have all that much in their storage compartments. Many of these things might lie dormant back in the vast warehouse of the subconsciousness. Others, fewer of us, of course, have a variety of accoutrements that we use on a regular basis. We've got our Swiss Army knives and our Leatherman tool, metaphorically speaking. And it comes down to what you find important in life, and a lot of what composes that is often set in motion in previous lives. And has a lot to do with whether you go to Wharton to learn how to be a banking swine or go to the School of Hard Knocks instead, also known as the College of the Concussed. Some of us come into this life with a fascination with cosmetics and body sprays. We look forward to intricately and artfully painted nails. We live in impossible dreams that never ever come true, except in the most rare of instances, and these few and far between examples are spotlighted in order to stir the hope and faith of the masses, to keep them believing in the possibilities of the impossible. It's the same thing with the lottery tickets. Someone is always winning, sometimes big, sometimes not so big, and sometimes usually. Well, why not you? Some people spend large amounts of their paychecks on lottery tickets, and most people never win anything but chump change. I'm amazed at how different some of us are from the rest of us. It is as if humanity is not just one common life form, but a grab bag of every kind of possibility, and some of them not human at all, but only appearing to be under that guise. I can well understand now why the wise remove themselves from the general areas of human contact. In these times, times of rampant materialism, humanity in general has become a toxic life form. The general drive for collective conformity with the lower nature is startling and shocking to see. I know it can't be like this everywhere, but the general appearance seen through the media and the world of entertainment, music, publishing, it's all distressing. The truth is that all the larger corporations that produce, promote, and distribute movies, music, and books are deliberately engaged in lowering the bar with every season that comes and goes. It's all about the avatar and his broom. The astral plane gets congested with entrenched evil after a long period of time with no attention given to it. Then the teacher of a coming age appears and descends by precipitation from the highest plane of existence. It comes down through all of the planes, charging, cleaning, and galvanizing them. He puts his stamp, his particular vibration, upon everything. When he hits the places where disembodied entities dwell, he sweeps them down toward the manifest for the purpose of judgment. What people don't get, and which they should by any and all means get, is that life is a repeating phenomena. Same thing happens over and over and over. Kingdoms rise and fall. Cultures come and go. People stay on the straight and narrow, and people stray off the path, if they were ever on it in the first place, and fall into a lifetime of corruption and an unfortunate ticket into the possibilities beyond. You could say that life is fixed, and in a lot of ways it is. It's hard to know exactly how much free will there is and how much locked in there is. For me, free will means only one thing. It means the right to go along with the cosmos or the right to go counter to it. That's all it means to me. You can either go with what's right for you, which is what the cosmos intends, or you can go your own way, and that's free will. And that'll only work for a certain amount of time until, it comes up against whatever it comes up against, because it always comes up against something at some point. I want to reemphasize something I said in a posting recently. Don't concern yourself with transitory moralities. Don't become obsessed with behavior patterns based on peer group pressure. Sorry, I haven't been smoking for a while, and for some reason that tends to bring things up in my throat a lot recently. I guess there are certain things you go through at certain periods, so you'll just have to bear with that, something I'm bearing with. Anyway, don't concern yourself with transitory moralities. Don't become obsessed with behavior patterns based on peer group pressure. Don't accept things as so just because someone says they are. There's one important thing that should be uppermost in your minds. Love the ineffable. Love your Creator, purely and simply and with all the intensity you can muster. Intensity grows, and therein lies one of the key secrets to bliss. Love grows. Love is the most mislabeled of things in this day and age. Much of what goes under the heading of love is not love, but only a variation of attachment passion. The whole point of love is liberation. And therefore you set the one you love free. In the case of God, you set God free to bless and instruct you. All you would ever need to know has been said by Jesus Christ and his true disciples. So what is wrong with Christians that makes them so contentious and judgmental? Mostly it is the times in which we live more than anything. These times are fraught with tension and deception, and of course the established church is on the side of the oppressor. They're just another big merchandising firm and another corporation, and all these corporations are elbowing each other looking for, you know, a bigger expanse at the trough. And they have no conscience and they have no concern for anyone other than what they're trying to get done. So, and the same extends to religions as much as it does to anything else. Now this accounts for a lot of erroneous teachings. Churches become divided over issues. The purpose of worship is to love your source, not to get into arguing about how many aardvarks can dance on a cactus needle. You might think of love as being similar to a white light that has all the colors of the spectrum contained within it. Love is truly amazing, and to have possession of it, to be possessed by it, is a state that cannot be equaled by the possession of anything temporal. Riches, power, celebrities, these are hollow and empty conditions, and the price of acquiring them is the loss of your love. I don't know if it's true, but I believe the qualities of God, that which is called the whole armor of God, the divine qualities, I believe they're resident in love as if they were those colors on the other side of the spectrum. I believe that love eventually ignites them within you when your love reaches a certain stage. The persona of Jesus Christ was the highest expression of love possible in this age. Christ brought the template of righteous life down from the heights within him. Muhammad had his vision and brought his teachings down for those who were more likely to comprehend it that way, even though the ineffable is and always will be incomprehensible. Buddha came earlier on with a message for those to whom it applied. Krishna came and brought to the Bhagavad Gita. Regardless of the time which might have separated the coming of the one or the other, within the Bhagavad Gita is all anyone needs to know in order to realize Godhead. Mahatma Gandhi used to read it every morning when he brushed his teeth. These days I hear all kinds of slanders against Gandhi, Martin Luther King, and others. I never pay any attention to any of it. We all have our flaws and make our mistakes, but as the Master says, by their works you shall know them. And both of these men were martyred. One would hardly expect the evil ones to kill someone who is cooperating with them. I try to keep my heart and mind simple and not presume to know what I do not know. Someone saying something is only proof that they said it. We're inclined to believe certain things and disinclined to believe others. This is how the toxic elite manipulate us. These days, they are going hammering tongs at the curriculum of the educational system. They are also seeking to imprint certain belief systems and thereby legislate morality as a result. When you teach children certain things at an early age, they are likely to believe what they hear from you, regardless of whether they are true or not. And this is how the state becomes seemingly all-powerful, by brainwashing children in order to control coming generations. Well, this is breaking down in surprising ways now, and God willing, a change is going to come, if I may quote Sam Cooke. Well, I guess that's all I got for you this evening, folks. I all of a sudden feel like maybe that's enough of it. This patchwork quilt of thoughts that I hopefully have some connection to each other. I've just been rambling around all over the place, and I hope I hit on something useful. If not, then of course I'll possibly come up with something next week. Speaking of which, I'll see you next week, if there is one. So, may you make that sustaining connection to your guardian angel, and thereby be in a position to have the operation of the sun completed in you and to speedily reach your success. That said, greetings, Lord Ganesh. Much love, Lady Tara. Hail, Lord Jesus Christ. La ilaha il alahu. Hare Krishna. Karyan Bahaula. Om Amitabha. Aloha and Aru. Much of an aru there. All right then. Later.
God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. God's not dead, merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.